I'm not sure who and how many. The Lord made it clear that somebody, this is, it's for all of us to learn, but it's, there's some specifics here for at least some people. So be listening to what the Lord says, not what I say, please, okay? Not what I say. But the Lord impressed upon me that some of you, maybe one or two, I don't know, this is specifically for you. So listen and do. That's all I know. I don't know what part. There's two significant parts. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And I just thank you that every time we go through just a Torah portion, there's new stuff we glean every time you show us things we missed. Thank you that your word is living and powerful, and it speaks to our need, to our point of need. Lord, I pray this morning that this message would speak to points of need of people in our congregation. They would hear from you, and you would do a work in their heart. They would receive what you want to give to them. In Yeshua's name, amen. Please be seated. Well, the last few weeks in the Torah portions, what's interesting is it's like, well, what new stuff can you get out of this again this time around? Every few years, I go through the parashah. No promises on how long I'm doing this, by the way. Just however the Lord leads. But I've got to tell you, I've been getting some great stuff for me out of this. That's new. Some new stuff. We've been looking at lessons the last 3 weeks, and today is not an exception to that, about God's will, God's plan. Discerning His will. That's kind of important, isn't it? Discerning His will. Hearing from Him. And the part I don't like, waiting on Him. I don't like that part. You'll learn more on that one a little bit later. And so this week's, again, speaks to those same issues. Sarah, aren't you glad you waited on Him for the right man? Wasn't it worth it? Bless you. You're doing this right. I got to tell you, when she says it's a normal wedding, it is not a normal wedding. Okay? Come and enjoy and have some fun. And pray for good weather. Well, last week I kind of left things hanging in one area. You know, we talked about, it's common to think, you know, the wives of the patriarchs, the patriarchs. We have Abraham and Sarah. We have Isaac and Rebecca. You already know this from last time. And we have Jacob, and everybody always says Rachel. Yeah, well, now we talked a little bit about that, but I'm going to make the Leah connection this morning. Because not only did it start last week, but she appears all through the portions until the end of the book of Genesis. And I want to pay some special attention to her because few people do. We have a teaching from the Messiah Conference by Dr. Wood who addressed this. This is much better than my teaching and also much longer than this. So I encourage you to get that one and listen to what he has to say as well. But what about Leah? I mean, like nobody much talks about her. Keep in mind that Rachel was a chronic complainer. Okay? And it's true. Who showed Leah favor? As a question, it wasn't Jacob. Who showed her favor? You guys are good. Could you read ahead? Okay, you know, the hidden hero is what I like to call her. The hidden hero. So let's bring her to the surface. Without Leah, this is a big statement, there would be no Jewish people. Period. Think about it. Okay? Back in chapter 29, it says that my paraphrase. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. And you get all this stuff, and in most of the commentaries, the delicate eyes, she had weak eyes, she had squinty eyes, she was ugly. It is not true. Okay? I have so much fun digging and finding ancient rabbis that dig up stuff. You can look at this. You know that's not true. By the way, let's talk about what Jacob was looking at. Okay? All right? That's important. Contrary to what we've been taught, it doesn't mean that she's ugly and that Rachel was beautiful. That wasn't the contrast. Delicate means soft. She had soft eyes. Now, picture this. She had soft eyes. What's wrong with that? From a man's perspective, nothing. Nothing's wrong with that. Nothing at all. The problem was, what was Jacob looking at? It wasn't her eyes. Or Rachel, wouldn't her eyes either. It says Rachel is beautiful of form and appearance. He was looking at the form. Okay? He's looking at the form. Not the eyes. Men, guys, T, Teens, single men, look at the eyes. Look at the eyes, please, not the form. Look at the eyes. I'm serious. Look at the eyes. Okay, statistically, this is free. Where's my door to escape? Statistically, what? I'm in trouble already. I haven't got to my good stuff yet. From a man's perspective, what's the most attractive part of a woman's body? Stop, don't even answer, okay? Statistically, it's the eyes. So man, look at the eyes. Please, look at their eyes. Her eyes were beautiful, they were soft. Jacob wasn't looking at Rachel's eyes. Enough on that one. In verse 31, it says, Leah was unloved. Okay, let's start off with that, where she was unloved. With Jacob and Rachel, when they met, instantly sparks were flying. Sparks can fly, but that doesn't mean it's for the right stuff. Okay? Laban then made the switch. We talked about this last week, which was the tiny, teeny, weeny little law that he didn't mention to Jacob, that before the younger sister can marry, the older one has to marry. So he did, that's exactly what Jacob had done, remember, in the blessing? The manipulation continues. He's reaping what he's sown. Laban makes the switch. How did Leah feel about that? Okay, let's go to Leah's heart and her part in this. It was deception. She gets a husband by deception. We read and read and read this. She loved Jacob. She's getting the man she loved, but it's, again, through deception. How did she feel about that? It gets worse. Gets worse. After one week, Jacob marries her younger sister and sleeps with her. The honeymoon isn't going so well, is it? Okay? And it keeps saying she loved Jacob. My heart goes out for Leah. She loved this man. And he's treating her like, you got it right, okay? He was rejecting her. He loved Rachel. Keeps saying that too. Now, okay, I'm sorry, I'm getting in trouble again, but I want you to get the picture. Jacob had sex with Leah when he didn't love her. Think about that. You don't want to do that. It becomes something else other than what God intended. It was like, okay, I'll do my duty now. Oh, great. That is not the plan of God. It's an expression of love. The deepest expression of love. And she couldn't get that. She was getting duty. It's my duty. I'm probably thinking about Rachel. I mean, think of what that feels like to a woman who loves this man. Maybe she was thinking, maybe someday Jacob will love me. Did he? Well, hang on. Jacob doesn't favor Leah. But God does. All through these portions, God favors Leah, not Rachel. Not Rachel. He looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. What was her legacy? It's pretty amazing. From Leah, we started this last week, but I gave you just a little bit. From Leah came Levi, the priestly line, the priests, people like Moses, Aaron, Miriam, the Levites, the worship leaders. That's a big deal. Okay, she gave us that. Without Leah, there would be no Torah. Think about it. No Ten Commandments. No Exodus. No Passover. No high priests. Wow. Without Leah, there would be no Judah. No Judah means no Caleb, no Boaz, no David, no Book of Psalms, no Davidic covenant, no Solomon. You know, the Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and the kings of Israel. None of them. Without Leah, the prophets, guys like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Ezra, Nehemiah, they came from her, okay? How about, as we look around the decorations today, Mary, Joseph, Yeshua, little things like that, Elizabeth, Zacharias, John the Baptist, Anna, they all came from her, okay? Okay, do you get the picture? Without Leah, there's no salvation. Salvation, that was the line that salvation came through. So why do we always say Jacob and Rachel? No. Leah is the important player here, big time. No salvation, pretty big deal. There'll be no Barnabas. There goes the book of Acts. Missions. By the way, Rachel died giving birth to Benjamin. Who raised Benjamin? Leah. Benjamin. From him came the first king of Israel, Saul, and Paul the Apostle. You know, her influence. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? But she had no idea these things were going to be her legacy, did she? She had no idea. So let's talk about yours. I've got to tell you, last Saturday night when we did that honor for Teresa, it was a picture of her legacy. I looked around this room and saw all the people that she brought here over the years. Amazing. All the people that she influenced. Amazing. She sent teachings out. Amazing. What's your legacy? How is a life measured? Well, Rachel, if you take a look, was also a deceiver. She fit the mold of the dysfunctional family. She was a chronic complainer. Leah had the inner beauty. Ladies, I got to tell you, Rachel may have had the flashy figure and stuff, but when it comes to it, men really want the inner beauty. They want the inner beauty. The most attractive part of a woman, if you're a godly man, is her godliness. Her godliness. Not how she looks on the outside. But I got to tell you, when I think godly women look pretty good because it shows through their countenance. It shows through. It's the most important quality. She had the inner beauty. And she continued to love Jacob no matter what. And she continued praising the Lord. Notice the name Judah. So what's God doing in our lives? What's our legacy going to be? Stuff we don't see. Stuff we don't see. Time will tell. I've shared this before, but every now and then I'll get a letter. I got one not long ago from a missionary in India. And I got to tell you, I don't remember this guy. He said, I was in your Bible study when you lived in Northern California. And your teachings dramatically changed my life. And I am who I am because of your teachings. I'm a missionary in India. I don't remember the guy, okay? And he's telling me that I had this impact on his life. We best be teaching the right stuff because sometimes people listen. And it does make a difference. And they say thank you. By the way, if you need to thank somebody, do it. Do it, okay? Do it. Who have you touched? Who have you influenced? Sometimes it's in the negative. Don't do that, okay? What you do and who you are matters. It matters. It matters. Our choices, the choices that we make, the choices that Jacob made, okay? The choices we make impact other people and determine our destiny. Our choices are pretty important. We better make them with prayer. And you know what? Your choices may determine the destiny of other people too, like in missions, in reaching out. If we didn't respond to the invitation we got to go to Montevideo, we would have missed the greatest blessing this congregation's ever had. And I think we've just scratched the surface down there. It's like opening up. That world is opening up to us because we said, here we are, we'll go. And we did. And who are we? We're nobody. We're nothing. The team that went down there, what? These people think we're famous people. We're not. But we're obedient, and God blesses that. He honors that. And the biggest blessing we get is knowing them. They touched me. Those people, I see them on the screen. They send me pictures all the time. They ask me these Bible questions and stuff. I look at them, and they've got the sweetest hearts possible. They're beautiful, beautiful people, and we're linked together, our two congregations. What will be the legacy of your life when it's all said and done? You know what? Not to name names, but after the service last Saturday night, one man said to me, you know what? You can't say these things about me. Okay? Well, maybe you still have time to get that fixed. What will we say about you? Okay? I hate it at a funeral. I have nothing to say. I can come up with scriptures and verses and music and this because there's nothing to say. Don't let that be the case with you. Give us something to say, okay, that's good. what will be the legacy of your life? In heaven, in the book of Revelation, is Leah there? Yeah, she's there. Her kids, their names are on half of the gates of heaven. She brought forth 6 of the 12 tribes. Okay, Rachel brought 2. Okay, 2. Their maidservants were involved as well. Not today. We won't go there today. But her heritage goes into eternity. The names are on the gates. When you enter to go into the presence of the king, the throne room, chances are you're going to go through one of her kids' gates. It's Leah made this one possible. Those gates are entrances to the throne room, to the king, to Yeshua himself. When we gather around the throne, how you get there? Go through the gates. Go through the gates. Good song, huh? Go through the gates. Now, what in heaven, or who in heaven will be a tribute to you? When you're standing around the throne, will somebody come to you and say, I'm here because of you? Or are you going to be looking at a bunch of strangers? You can fix it. You can fix it. I pray there's people there because of you. Tonight and tomorrow is a good chance to go out locally and be nice to people and answer questions and pray for divine appointments. I'll bet if you pray for a divine appointment, you're going to get it. You think God's going to say no? I don't think so. We have an opportunity. Leah never stopped loving Jacob. How many times am I going to say that? And in the end, he did love her. And he finally saw her value. How do we know? My favorite part of this story. Okay, let's go back to the book of Ruth. You know, Boaz was from her. We sang the song Ruth last Saturday night. Allow me, because I know you know this, frontwards and backwards, right? Where you go, I will go. Do you really know that? Let's see. Okay, I'll read it exact. Ruth, this is a great scripture. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Guess what? We leave out the rest, don't we? In the song, we leave out the rest. There's one more verse. It's the most significant of the verses. Why do we leave it out? It's because Gentiles have gotten a hold of this and don't know the Jewish connection. The most significant part, and Ruth was wired properly. She got the Jewish connection because she said this. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. Well, that is significant. Within Judaism, where you're buried and who you're buried with is very, very important and significant. And we got this from Helen, our guide in Israel, over the years. Who you lie with in death is who you lied with in life. Okay? That's the point. Together, symbolically, forever. Who's buried in Machpelah? Remember the last 2 or 3 weeks? Well, we have Abraham and Sarah. And we have Isaac and Rebekah. And we have Jacob and Rachel, right? No, we don't have Rachel there, do we? Leah is buried with Jacob. How'd that happen? It's not as easy as you think. Why not Rachel? Rachel died in Bethlehem. It's only 4 miles from Hebron where Machpelah is. Easy to take her down there and bury her there. Jacob didn't do that. Something's going on. Okay? She's not buried there. In chapter 49 of Genesis, at the end of Jacob's life, he gives instructions. He said, I buried Leah at Machpelah. He chose to put her there, not Rachel. And he said, I will be buried with Rachel. He finally saw her value. Leah. Thank you. I'm glad you're awake. With Leah. Thanks. He finally saw her value. He gives those instructions. I want to be buried next to Leah, not Rachel. So to answer the question, finally he did love her. The fact that she just hung in there and was faithful to her heart, she did get the blessing. So Leah is important. So the parasha of the day. This story about Leah goes through 2 weeks ago and to the end. So it's in the whole thing. In the previous chapters, okay, we see God speaking. But he speaks once again to Jacob in this parasha. In the reading this morning, we saw that. The Lord said to Jacob, return. He's been gone 20 years. Remember, he went kind of in haste. 20 years. Return, I quote, to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. This is a go now here. Go now here. And Jacob, excuse me, Lord, let me clarify one thing. You said go to my family? Yes. That would be Esau? Yes. Chapter 32. Jacob is in great fear. Oh, what happened to the deception? He's got to face his problem. Even though God had been saying over and over again, you know, I make the promise I made to Abraham, it goes through you. Angels show up. I'd like to see angels, wouldn't you? And they meet him. He was still overcome with fear. Why was he so fearful of Esau? Well, Esau's parting words when Jacob left was, I will kill my brother Jacob. Okay. Sibling rivalry, pretty big time here. We reap what we sow, Jacob. So, in true Jacob style, Jacob starts making his own plans. Okay, here's what we're going to do to manipulate the situation here. We're going to organize, we're going to plot and connive and scheme and manipulate the outcome of my encounter with my brother. So he sends presents. Why didn't he just send a message, will you please forgive me, I was wrong? Like, start with that one? Doesn't do that. There were strings attached to the presents. He's trying to buy favor, like he bought the birthright. Same old Jacob. Okay? And he starts with a line. You know, here's the message to Esau. Your servant Jacob. Wait a minute. The whole thing was, remember, it was switched. The older will serve the younger. He got the birthright. He got the blessing. Now he's saying, oh, I'm your servant. Okay. All right. And he asks Esau for favor. For favor. And he gets the response. I saw your faces this morning as it was being read. The response was this. Esau will meet with you. Good. And he's bringing 400 men. Why? Oh, let's see. How many answers can I come up with on that one? 400 men. And the response of Jacob? Oh, now he's greatly afraid and traumatized, okay? Greatly afraid. And he's dismayed. You reap what you sow, Jacob. Finally, in this parasha, finally, Jacob prays. I guess when all else fails, right, we pray. Let's do that the other way around. Let's make that our first priority. And what does he do in his prayer? He finally confesses, I am not worthy. Wake up, Jacob. You got it. You got it. You got it. Everything that's been given to your families by grace, you are not worthy. You've certainly shown that. I'm not worthy. Sounds like the prodigal son, huh? It does, doesn't it? And he prays for deliverance. Maybe he needed a different kind as well. Maybe. Think about that one. Prays for deliverance. Will you deliver me? And then he reminds God of his promises. By the way, if God made those promises, then he shouldn't be fearful, right? You would think. If God makes you a promise, he's going to keep it. But in his way and in his time. See? We don't like it because we don't get it now. God made me a promise, but I don't have it. Yet. But before the encounter with Jacob, he will have another encounter. The great wrestling match. All right? He will wrestle with God. By the way, when you do that, who wins? Okay. Finally, Jacob was left alone. But he wasn't alone. It says alone with God. In his biggest crisis, this is his biggest crisis, Jacob wrestles with God. And he pleads for a blessing, a real one, not one that's manipulated, not one he buys, a real blessing. You know, it's okay to ask God for a blessing. It really is. It really is. You think God would say, nope, I'm all out of blessings. Sorry. No, ask. Why don't you ask for a blessing? Ask him. You ask, you got it. Cool, I think. Woo. Until now, all the blessings he received were through deception. Okay? But the blessing he gets now, the real one, brings a name change. Brings a name change. Okay? From deceiver to prince. Pretty cool. Huh? Very significant. In the future, Jewish people are referred to as the children of Israel, not the children of Jacob. The children of a prince, not the children of a deceiver. Okay? Let's think about that. From the princely line would come the king, the Messiah. Did it really happen? Yeah. I mean, sometimes when God does a spectacular thing in your life, you go, did that really happen a few years ago? Okay? He may have wondered that. How do we know? How does he know it's real? He limps from this point on. Hey, Grandpa, how come you're limping? Well, I guess that was real. It was real. Jacob struggles with God. And when he asks for a blessing, he gets the name change. Sarah, are you going to get a name change? You are. Is that a part of the blessing? Look at that, a name change. So look at that, God. Look at that. It fits my message pretty good, huh? You get a name change. I like that one. You can have a little bit of a change on your left ring finger? I think so. Pretty good, huh? Okay. It really happened. He limped the rest of his life. That was the sign that it was reality. It really happened. Jacob struggles with God in his time of need. He wrestles. That means he's fully engaged. There's close contact, up close and personal. How about us? Sometimes we will inquire of the Lord. We're always saying we want to hear from the Lord. We inquire of the Lord. We get still and we listen. And we hear. And then we say, I don't like what I just heard. That's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear something different. Okay, wait a minute. You ever had that experience? Wait a minute. Or maybe the Lord tells you, yes, the blessing is you're going to get what you've always wanted, that your heart's desire. But it's a not yet. Oh, wait a minute. I want it now. See, that's why a lot of times God does not tell you ahead of time what he's going to do. Because it's really good stuff. And you say, well, I want it right now. Maybe you're not ready just yet. Whatever the reason is, when you hear a not yet, there's some struggle. Sometimes we wrestle with God. It's not a bad thing. Wrestling with God can bring understanding to circumstances, okay, that we don't understand or even like. But if we wrestle with him, in this case, he was given some discernment. And he got a blessing. He got a blessing. The name change. The name change. When we wrestle, we're in close contact. By the way, God likes that. Think about this. He wants to hold you in his arms, close, until you surrender. That's what he wants to do, until you give in. When you wrestle with God, let him win. Let him win. Give in. Surrender. That's what he wants, your surrender. And then you'll get the blessing. That's when you get the blessing, okay? You get that one? Scripture teaches us that there's two kinds of wrestling. We can wrestle with God like we have right here. And then Ephesians 6, remember the spiritual warfare? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil. Sometimes our wrestling is against evil. It's against evil. The powers of darkness you can wrestle with, or the powers of light you can wrestle with. The point is, know who you're wrestling with. Know who you're wrestling with. Both are close contact. Both are close contact. God desires close contact. But when you're engaging with the enemy, don't surrender, ever. But surrender to God if you're wrestling with him. More on that in a minute. Chapter 33 kind of starts off with Esau is coming. Okay, Esau's coming. But Esau had the 400 men. The encounter Jacob feared the most. What happened when he got there? Look at this. Look at his fear. It became an expression of love. There was an embrace. There were kisses. There was weeping. There was reconciliation. He didn't have to buy favor. It came out of Esau's heart. OK? Okay, Jacob never thought of that one. That my brother might have a soft heart. The relationship with a brother restored. A family once again. We're family once again. So, first in this room. Okay, I'm not a rocket scientist, but with this many people, it's pretty easy. Some of you, some of us, may have family issues and problems. Where there needs to be some reconciliation, some fixing. Are there family relationships that you might have that need mending? That need mending. Maybe the Lord will speak to you about that today, on who it is and how to go about it. Maybe you should take the first step. But I wasn't wrong. So what? So what? Take the first step. Maybe you get the surprise Jacob got. He really does love me. Whoa. Think about what it can be. If you can restore the relationship, what will your family be like? In this case, what could it have been like? Jacob was gone for 20 years. He didn't have to be. Chapter 35, God speaks again to Jacob. Isn't that amazing? Does Jacob deserve this? No, it's all by grace. God keeps keeping his word, just like him. Huh? He speaks again in Bethel, where he spoke before. He said, I want you to go back to Bethel. I have more to tell you. Bethel's in the West Bank. It's in Samaria. The title deed, we've been through that. God keeps saying, this is the land where you're laying down is your land. That's Samaria, the West Bank. And he reaffirms the Abrahamic covenant, the land covenant, God's eternal promise to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That would be you if you're Jewish. You are the inheritor of these very promises. God has not revoked them. They're yours. And we who are not Jewish need to support that and stand with it that these are your promises. I love Israel. It's my favorite place. It's not my land. It's not my land. And I'm really okay with that because I love who he gave it to, the Jewish people. All right, God has a plan and a purpose. And we who are not Jewish need to recognize what that is and support it. And one of our biggest missions is to inform the church on how to do that, on how to bless what God blesses, how to love what God loves. It's not easy because we've been brainwashed. Anyway, that's a different story. So, back to wrestling. Have you ever wrestled with God? Have you ever? Did Yeshua ever wrestle with God? Yes, he did. Where was that? Gethsemane. Yeshua also wrestled at his biggest crisis. Sometimes the wrestling, the struggle, is necessary. This is important. When we wrestle with God, it's necessary to know and learn and acknowledge what God's will is. Because sometimes, I have to be honest with you, I don't like it because I like my will. But you know what? His will is best. Is best. And there's struggle sometimes. At his biggest crisis, there was this struggle. And he's asking the question, not my will, but your will. But can this cup be taken from me? The answer was no, it can't. By the way, what's at stake here? Our salvation is at stake. Our salvation is at stake. I'm glad it wasn't taken away. That wrestling match was over our salvation. God will not always deliver us from the problem, from the cup. But he's promised to always be with us in the trial. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, Psalm 23, I will be with you. It doesn't say I will take it away. Because we will all walk into that valley. Our loved ones will walk into that valley. Some sooner than you think. So get your family fixed. Get right with people that you're wrong with. Straighten it out. He will always be with us. Sometimes wrestling is necessary so that we can say, okay, I surrender. Jacob finally did that. Okay, I surrender. You have to mean this, not my will, but your will be done. That's what he wants to hear. What happens when you say that? When you truly surrender, then you get the blessing. That's when the blessing comes. Where did Yeshua wrestle? In Gethsemane. You have been on our Israel trips. Know the answer to this. What does that word mean? Gethsemane. It means oil press. Oil press. To get the olive oil out of the olive, it has to be pressed. Look at the illustration here. It's squeezed hard by a press to get the good stuff out. Great pressure. We're the olive tree. We are the olive tree. The fruit of the olive tree is olives. We have two kinds of branches, same fruit though. We must enter the press. We must enter the press and be squeezed until we truly say, I surrender. I surrender all, and I really mean it. Not my will, but your will be done. Your will be done. Let him win. Let him win. Acknowledge his will. Submit to him. And when you do that, that's when the blessing comes. That's when the blessing comes. I can't find the verse that says it's easy. I've been looking for it. I wish I could end with that. I don't have it. It's struggle. And it's painful. And you might even limp. But you know what? The will of God, his plan, his purpose, his design for you, your destiny, will then be accomplished when you willingly submit. Be like Jacob, I'm not worthy. Deliver me from myself, please. I want your will in my life. I give all of me to you. Use me. That's what he wants to hear. But in that wrestling, remember the close contact? He doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to hold you and embrace you and kiss you. Let him do it. Receive his love. Thank you, Lord, that in this section we see awesome communication of your love. Lord, I pray we would learn the lessons where it won't take us 20 years, but that we'll learn to trust in you in all things, to listen, and sometimes to struggle and maybe wrestle with stuff. But I pray we'll learn to let you win and truly surrender and truly want your will, not ours. Lord, I thank you that these illustrations are given so we'll do them. Not just know a story, but that we'll put it into practice. We'll be people who surrender fully, who want your will, are willing to do your will. And like Sharon and others are willing to go anywhere in the world. Hineni, here am I, send me. Thank you, Lord, for people in our congregation who say that, who do that. We pray for Ubaldo, who has that vision, who's imparting it to his people. Bring healing, I pray, to him. And as he imparts your wonderful message, may he get the blessing. May his people get the blessing. Like us, a little tiny congregation that's going to change South America. Thank you, Lord, for our connection with those sweet, sweet people. May we hear from you. May we submit to you. May we lay our lives down for you. Yavarechacha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panavalecha v'hunecha. Yisa Adonai panavalecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. By the way, this wouldn't have been said without Leah. Keep that in mind. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his shalom. B'Shem Yeshua, HaMashiach, Sar Shalom. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, a descendant of Leah. Amen.